Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you know, I'm Mike Tucker with Columbia Economic Development, and a few weeks ago I had received an email from Mike Yevely, the Regional Director of Empire State Development, the most recent project that my longtime associate and friend, Antonio Dixon, who I've worked with over the years in economic development activities throughout the Capital Region, was looking into with respect to providing some type of shelter that might allow restaurants, retail, and other activities extend beyond the summer season and early fall. I reached out to Mayor Johnson, and he referred this to your committee. And I know that Mr. Dixon had a previous commitment, but as you pointed out, Anna Lipincott is with us from the company Solar 5, who can explain it. And I appreciate the opportunity for her to be here today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Mike, and thank you everyone for having us here today. We did submit a formal proposal, but just to give you some more background on SolarFi, kind of our project and what we're doing, SolarFi Cares is a nonprofit organization. We're an umbrella group, and our goal is to use solar energy and renewable resources to bring education, economic development, and health to areas that might not otherwise have it. So we've created a product called the Prive Pod. So the Prives are fully solar-powered pods that have the capability to do essentially limitless possibilities. So they can be used, as economic booths in development. They can be used as health pop-ups. They can be used just for kind of limitless resources. Most recently, and during coronavirus, we have noticed a lot of restaurants, hotels, and municipalities have shown interest in them, specifically for outdoor dining and outdoor recreation activities. So they provide kind of a private, socially distant area where people can kind of sit, they're clear, and fully enjoy the space they're in without feeling unsafe, for lack of a better term. So we would love the opportunity to bring the pods to Hudson, to use them in any way that you see fit. We did most recently, we did a trial activity in the Berkshires this past week, and we had pods throughout a couple of city parks. We had them at a hotel restaurant in just a few different places, and they proved to be very successful. People liked them. In addition to having the secure, socially distant environment, you also have, because they're fully solar powered, they have heating, they have air conditioning. So obviously going into the winter, we're using the heating more than the air conditioning, but they're able to be heated. They do have internal power as well. That's all solar powered. So they've got phone chargers, they've got device chargers, they've got speakers inside. So they're kind of these smart pods, and we want to bring innovation to the community. So
how big are they? I'm having a hard time sort of.
They range in size. The smallest ones are 6x4, and those fit two to three people comfortably. And the largest ones are 8x8s, and those fit up to 8 people. So they do range. The most popular ones that we offer are the mid-size, which are 6 feet by 8 feet, and those seat about 4 people inside.
Okay, thanks. Excuse me.
What's the, Anna, what's the, 2 questions. One, what, you said you did a pilot in the Berkshires. So what happened in between groups that went in and experienced being inside of them? That's my first question. And my second question is, how is the cost of them structured? Like, how much does one cost? How much does 3 cost? Are you guys subsidizing them? Like, do you have grant money to get them in places?
Yep. So to answer your first question, what happens in between groups being in them is up to whoever is actually using them. So for example, the one that we had in a hotel restaurant, it was up to the restaurant. They were taking reservations for specific times. So maybe you had a 5 o'clock dinner reservation and then a 7 o'clock dinner reservation or something. So it was up to the restaurant to go in and sanitize it. They're very, very easy to sanitize. They're a polycarbonate glass material. So it's up to the group to go in and sanitize, if that answers that question. And then as far as approaching...
It doesn't totally, just because what about air? Like, that's probably weird. I'm not a scientist, but like, what about the...
circulation?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention. They do have ventilation flaps in them. So it's not, you're not breathing in the same air over and over. It's venting in and out. And then as far as a pricing structure, we were in our proposal to the city, we do offer a pilot program where we can bring 5 pods on a month trial for $11,000, and that includes delivery. And then from there, the city is able to decide what exactly they want to do with them. So with some of our city partners, we've had cities donate them to restaurants. Restaurants can bid on them to have them for a week or 2 weeks or a month or something like that. So restaurants can bid on them. If the city wants to use them for a park, the city can use them for a park. And then as far as subsidy, so that price includes one of our subsidies because you're a municipality, but then also we encourage cities to ask area businesses if they'd be interested in subsidizing, usually for sponsorship. So for example, I'm just going to use last weekend again as an example. When we were doing work in the Berkshire Bank had subsidized some of the pods. So they had some signage on the outside of pods and things like that. So the city is able, because they're the one making the contract, to ask to see if other groups want to come in and help out with some of the funds.
Anna, did you say $11,000 for 5 for a month?
Yes, for a month, yeah.
And do you rent them
Sorry, Anna, what size were those? Because so I think that's like a big...
I just want to double check because I don't want to obviously get this wrong. So that is for 4 6x8 units and 1 6x4 unit.
And then what's the structure
and
after
remind that? Us just because we're getting familiarized with the program. The 6x8s, how many people?
A 6x8 is the popular, it's the mid-size, so that seats 4 to 5 people.
So that's essentially like one table.
Okay.
You know, at a restaurant. And if you could, I'm just kind of trying to understand what the difference is. Like, this is like a high-tech version of like a tent with heaters.
Correct. It's fully solar powered, so we don't use any external electricity. It has the capability if you wanted to, however, we don't recommend it because we are a green energy company. And then also, I think the biggest differences between us and other companies are the way we structure power, the self-heating capability. We're not bringing in external heaters, anything like that. And then also the ventilation system that we do have, so that it's not, you know, if you see the pictures of igloos and things like that, it's kind of a closed air structure.
I guess I just wanted to say, like, as a restaurant owner, it seems pretty impractical. I can't really imagine how we could use it unless we had like 10 of them to like actually function, because just having one table is not worth being open outside. You know, if we had one table and maybe one inside, but I feel like it needs to, I don't understand how it would work for like a restaurant business unless you had more.
Restaurants that we've seen them in end up getting a couple of them, and they end up using, doing an upcharge to reserve within the pod. So it might be $10 or $20 a head extra.
Can I ask, you said it was 11,000 for 5 pods. That's about 2,200 each. Is that for the length of the pilot program, or is that per month, or how is that structured?
That's for a month-long pilot.
And you say it doesn't include delivery?
That does include delivery, yes.
Doesn't. Now, my question is, in the winter when there's not much sunlight, how do they work?
Like I said, they can be hooked up to an external power source. We don't recommend that, just again, because we're a green energy company. But I think you'd be pretty amazed at how little sunlight they need to operate and also how long the battery will last.
Interesting. Are there any that are up and running locally, like say within a 25-mile radius, say for this weekend, that we could go check out?
Yeah, we... if you wanted to come in and look at some, we do have a few in the Albany area. I'll have to get our locations for this weekend. I happen to know, for example, tomorrow we're doing a voter registration drive. So we've got a couple in Schenectady tomorrow. I know there are a few in Albany right now, but I can get you a list of where we have active pods if you wanted to take a look.
Yeah, there's something close by that... I'm finding it hard to really envision how these things are, you know.
Hannah and Kristen, because you guys have restaurants, I'm interested to hear, like, what Hannah, what you said before was what was going through my head earlier, just that, like, it seemed, I mean, super cool, right? Like a cool tent, but that you need to, I don't know how many people a restaurant needs a night to eat, but it seems like it would be more than that. And also, maybe, I don't know how you feel about upcharging for like a special experience, and I'm wondering it's what you guys are thinking when you hear this.
To me, it just seems expensive for what it is, and I mean, it's really nice, but it's just, you know, we would need multiples of them in order to, and I still don't think in that we would be making our money back on it.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I mean, a lot of these tent companies were actually just giving the restaurants the tent for the summer or for the season, because all of their rental business had gone away, right? Because they're usually doing catering, et cetera, for big events. So they worked crazy deals with restaurants in order just to keep everybody going. So it wouldn't be like we're exchanging a tent fee. Yeah, I have no idea how you would make those numbers work. I would be closer to building some kind of structure that I could put walls on, to be totally honest. Yeah. And I think they're really exciting, but like for any restaurant I know in Hudson, if you can swing that, more power to you, but that's like way out of our league.
I mean, yeah, if you could swing it, you could probably just ride through coronavirus being closed, but I was just going to say, we would be like sort of leasing to own them, or are they something that you rent? Because also when the pandemic's over, I don't think there would be much of a need for them, at least, you know, in my business, or I think many of the businesses in Hudson.
I think that's the benefit of doing a month trial, is seeing how much, you know, how much you use them, the benefit they bring, the all-weather capabilities, and then if you do want to purchase from there, there's, you know, an opportunity to do that. We can work something out. Otherwise, it would just be a lease deal.
Hey, Anna, what does the second month look like? The first month, the pilot would be 11,000. How does it look after that? Like, let's say that we did it for a month and said, this is great, let's rent these through till May. What does that look like?
We've only worked on a 1 month proposal. I would have to collaborate with the team and get a second and third month in mind.
That's kind of important, just because putting an initial 11K and then understanding whether it's going to go down and become a more reasonable rate or whether it's going to go up would help us decide whether we would even.
Yeah. I also feel like, Chris, to your point, I feel like we really need to understand the scalability of this. So like, could, you know, if we're gonna fund it, you know, if every restaurant gets one, for example, like what does that look like? I think, yeah, there are a lot of questions, but I would like to understand scalability for sure.
And I had a question. I was just looking at the pictures, which I hope was the correct link. But how are they being cleaned or advised to be cleaned in between use? that seem, there's a lot of surface area. So just thinking about, you know, the safety issue, have you guys figured out protocols for that?
You can just use any standard cleaner. Just because it is a glass base, you can use any kind of cleaner on it.
But it would need to be cleaned, right, in between use.
Right. We would recommend that you clean them in between uses.
Okay.
I just think there are a lot of questions about them. Even how much space they would take up in front of, say, Kamea or one of the other restaurants, that, you know, how many would you have? You could just have one table out there. It just seems odd.
They do fit. I don't know if this helps answer a question. They do fit within a typical parking space. So if you have parking spaces either in front of or next to restaurants, they do fit there.
One per parking space?
I think it depends what size you use, but you can fit usually two per parking space.
Calvin, I think this is a question for you. I read in your email chain that 225 was definitively getting one of these. Is that true? And do we know when that will be up? So maybe we can like check it out in person.
Yeah, I do think 225 Warren could serve as a local example. I would have to follow up in detail for the details with the mayor to give you accurate information on that. But it is my understanding that they were interested in the pilot.
But that's not them getting one. That's them being suggested as a pilot place. I think Kate was saying, like, are they already getting one so we can go?
Right, yeah. I'm not sure. I would have to follow up with the mayor to ensure that.
And does that mean that they're
do you mind, Calvin? Do you mind?
What?
Does that mean that they're spending $2,000 to do it, or we're just electing a place to be the pilot place?
My understanding that this was going to be adopted by 225, not in connection with the tourism board.
Not with the pilot, right?
Right.
They were just interested in trying it out.
Right, yes.
So it's 11,000 for the, you said for four for the first month?
Five.
Okay, so the math on that is like it's around like 2,000 a month per one. That's, I just feel like that's where it's like, that's my rent, you know, for one table. And that's where I think I just keep getting confused.
Right. And like we said, you know, it's up to the city if they're choosing to, you know, to help subsidize restaurants, to help people in this time of need. And also you do have the opportunity to seek out sponsors to help sponsor them.
I think that's the most interesting part, to talk about how, what ways you could make something like this work, but you'd really have to flesh out things like advertising and subsidies and from a tourism view, just to say, you know, it could be exciting for Hudson to have something like this, but I from the local businesses to be able to take on that, I think it's easier just not to have a table. But from a broader perspective of like things to draw you to Hudson, if you could flesh out how to get sponsorship, et cetera, I think that would be the start of a conversation, at least from the restaurant perspective.
My recommendation on this would be that, I mean, there's two ways we could go. We could bring it up and vote whether we want to move forward, or we could see this as an opening of a conversation and give the company an opportunity to come back with a more official proposal, like this is what we recommend. You don't have to tell Hudson what to do, but it would be really interesting to say, like, this is what we recommend Hudson do. Here's how it becomes financially viable. A little more guidance, then I think we would have a better understanding and can make a better assessment.
I think that's true, Chris. And also remember what Monica wrote, you know, that if something comes up like this, she thinks everybody ought to be able to participate. And there's quite a lot of everybody's as far as restaurants in Hudson on Warren and on
Warren. Right. And they're not all that close together. So like if we were to do like a food court style,
yeah,
like people can get their food and can reserve or go to an available pod. But that's really hard when we have restaurants on Upper Warren, Lower Warren, and even not even on Warren.
Right.
Maybe we should have a special meeting, which we have, you know, time to do now that like the super crunch is over in a week or two, and like the tourism board have a special meeting and talk about ways that we could make this exciting and make it work or not, and just have a committed conversation about it, like in a week.
There's something there. I don't want to dismiss it.
Could we do that?
Figure out how we make it work. And right now,
yeah, and like that, what you just said was a really exciting idea. That maybe all five of them, you know, go in 7th Street Park, or just. But maybe we could, you know, there's like we're half an hour into our meeting with a lot on the agenda, so maybe we could set up a special meeting in a week or something and dedicate it to this.
And if you do want to set up a special meeting, we're more than happy to participate and have a full presentation that can, I think, more thoroughly answer some of the questions, as well as I don't know the format for doing it, but I think you can screen share on Zoom, so we can show, you know, the full presentation and show kind of exactly what we do.
That'd be great.
Thank you, Anna.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I can I'll coordinate with you furthermore about the time of the special meeting to have that conversation.
Okay, great. Thank you guys very much, and thank you for having me, and I look forward to expanding upon this conversation.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
I guess I would just like to point out that, you know, I was just introducing them. I have many of the same concerns and questions that you had. And, you know, at that price per month, I don't know how you could provide every restaurant and be fair. And so, you know, I do think that there's something here, but, you know, whether, you know, at $2,000 a month, they would sell you them for that. But, you know, I don't want to turn, as you pointed out, as a board, I don't want to dissuade further evaluation, but, you know, I did the numbers, and you'd have to flip a table twice a night and still charge each four top $5 a head. And, you know, I just don't see that an individual restaurant. The other issue I had was it would not be I would recommend not doing it through Project Hudson, because you'll recall, unless there was a local business that was sponsoring it, because right. we had previously indicated that, you know, you had to, with Betsy Miller, we made her get a local sponsor to do her walking tours. So, you know, I do think it's a separate analysis for you.
Right. I agree, Mike.
That's a good point. Two good points.
Obviously, it's your choice, but I...
Now we value your opinion.
Sometimes.
Always.
I will stay on in case you have questions
about
any of the applications.
I think that's a great... Yeah, like, it would be great if we could... There are some things that we have to decide. We just have to okay, I think, final funding on, and then there are also a couple of actual but leftover Project Hudson things that have done everything we've asked in the follow-up that we have to discuss. We should do that with me around if we can.
Yes. Yes, Kate, did you have a comment?
Oh, no. I think I was pushing in the same direction as Tamar, which is
okay.
I think there are some really important things on the agenda tonight that we need to get to.
Yes, alrighty. So that said, next order of business is to discuss the extension of the workforce program with Shared Streets. And so there was concern about incorporating the extra money spent for the 4-week extension of the workforce program and whether or not they should incorporate it into the final budget. And so, let's see. So yes, we can kind of open that discussion.
I don't know about that, Calvin. What happened? How much do they want?
So shared, the overall shared streets budget is considerably under what we set aside for it, which is wonderful and makes sense because it was a projected budget and then there was a project that was done. And so that's good. And that wasn't under Project Hudson. That was just a thing that we funded as the tourism board. Under Project Hudson, we funded the workforce development program, which employed shared streets ambassadors to learn about and understand technical urbanism and do outreach on shared streets, et cetera. And that program went longer. And Tammy and Sage were wondering whether it was okay to, because the workforce development program had a certain amount of funding, but the students worked for longer, whether they could fold that into the shared streets request.
Why didn't they tell us that they were going to be working longer if they want us to pay for it?
Go ahead, Kate, sorry.
So I think one of the things to be really clear about is the addition of time. And Sage, I see that you're on this call, so please jump in and correct me at any point in time, was really about helping the shared streets initiative be successful and having the workforce development ambassadors that we funded on for longer periods of time to help with things like moving all of the great boxes that all the restaurants use to help with traffic flow, etc. So Sydney, I think that answers your question pretty specifically, but Sage, I know you're on and like, please chime in.
Hi, everybody. There were like threefold things that were happening as Shared Streets was rolling out. The workforce development program, the students, we needed more help to keep the Shared Streets running and open. And the community college workforce program, who we partnered with, was able to continue to help us keep that going. So we kept it going. Elena Mosley also stepped in, but we did run over it. We ran it for 10 weeks and currently we're still employing every weekend between 2 and 4 students to help put the planters out, the signage out. We're hoping to do another round of data collection. We've been handing out maps. There's just a multitude of things that have to be done every weekend. And in reality, originally, the way it was written is that the DPW and HPD were going to help with that, and that was never possible. So we have, all of the employees at Hudson Hall have personally been doing this regularly. You've seen us out there watering the plants and moving the planters, but we have certainly relied on our workforce development students to help us with that initiative. We are hoping that it would be okay to take some of that expense and move it into the shared streets budget. Currently, we've only spent 45,000 of the 86,000 that was approved. And if we can continue to employ these youth to help us get through the next month, that would be also folded in.
How much would that be, Sage?
Sorry?
What are we looking at? How much money?
Currently, we're $5,000 over budget on the workforce program, and we're $40,000 under budget on the shared streets program. We have a few bills that have not yet come in. I have 2 more months of porta potties, which is $2,000. There's a few other things still to come in. Aside from that $5,000 for workforce, I expect there probably will be another $5,000 total at the end of October. So that would be a total of 55,000 of the 86,000 that was approved.
So
say, I haven't seen any of those kids out. I'm on the streets every weekend. I haven't seen
them. I see them all the time. And
I see them all the time, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see them all the time, too.
In their yellow shirts?
Yeah, and I have to say, that was a thing, I really, as Sage was talking, I wanted to say that, like, I have a certain strong amount of Hudson pride every time I see those kids in their yellow shirts. And I'm like, look, there's a lot of stuff we don't have capacity for, but it is so rad that we have capacity for this, that we're paying young people to just be out in the streets and owning them and supporting them in this way. I feel so good about that.
Great.
I think they feel so good about it. You see them walking around and you can see their pride. Like, this is their job and this is their thing. To me, I feel the exact same way. Every time I see them, I think they think I'm this weird crazy lady because I like honk and I give them a thumbs up. And, like,
me too.
They're like,
I think I'm crazy. Same thing. I'm like, woo! Yeah. But I also think from like the projected.
So cute.
And like, but from as somebody that has, you know, written a number of projected budgets, including helping Piper with one for this process, it's really hard to line up what you think is going to happen with what's going to happen. And in this situation, I feel like the fact that, like, this is a really great way for this projected budget to be off its projection, which is the overall spending is down, and the thing that needs to get funded a little bit more is youth on the street. And like, that's, so in my mind, this is like, if budget projections go wrong, this is the best way for them to go wrong.
True, absolutely, Tamar.
Yes,
huh?
I think it's a great idea. I my only concern is I think we'll need a resolution, and fortunately our next meetings are in the next 2 weeks, to make that budget adjustment. I think the council will be totally in favor of it.
Tom, just to interject, we have not submitted this as a bill at this time at all because we figured that it wasn't time. What we have submitted for the last tourism board meeting, but it didn't somehow make it from here to the Common Council, was our first reimbursement for shared streets.
Right.
And then tonight you should also have our second submittal for reimbursement, which would be that total of $45,000-ish. You also have our workforce development report for the program that we ran. So you should have those three things. And then we did not submit for that overage because we didn't know whether it would be possible. So you do not have that at this time. And if it were approved, we would submit it next time. Or I mean, if you were open to us submitting it, we would do so.
That's what I'm saying. It could be done for this month's meetings.
We just need to vote on it being okay, and then Tom and Tracy and Jeff will write up a resolution that they can pass soon, and then it can all happen together.
Exactly.
With the appropriate paperwork with Calvin's sign, which Kate, you're doing that, right?
Kate did it for that first one, and I think maybe for the second one, and every for the workforce enforcement, blah, blah. You know what I mean? For the workforce program, workforce development program, and every Project Hudson grant, that voucher is included in the paperwork. So everybody has still.
Oh, okay. So they don't have to do three. They can do one. Perfect.
It's always.
Terrific.
Well, I don't know if they have to do. No, they have to do three because each request has one. But that voucher itself is in every Project Hudson reporting packet. So I don't think it really matters how many they do, but I think Kate has probably already submitted it for the first one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think this is one of the things that we need to circle back about. Maybe we need to, the tourism board, we might need to schedule another meeting. But yes, we need to make sure that like all of the initiatives that we have sponsored, everyone's clear about the paperwork. Mike, I know you're on this call right now, and thank you so much for all of your help. We just want to be sure that like we're following up and making sure that everyone's getting reimbursed in a timely fashion.
Yes. Well said, Kate. Thanks.
We are starting to get some emails from people who have submitted and asking about the process. So it would be good to discuss that. One of the thoughts that I had is we've all been assigned, everybody in the tourism board, it's usually one or two people, have been assigned to oversee a project, check on metrics, and report back. I'm wondering if that could be, if the people who are assigned to a project could be responsible for making sure the paperwork gets in so the Common Council can vote.
Yeah, I think that'll be the easiest way to do it, Chris. I would agree with that.
Everyone understands?
Yeah, and I think we probably have been, but just to finish up mm-hmm. on this one, should we do a, do we need to vote on agreeing on
for the resolution
adjustment?
Yes.
So we should probably do that and then we can move on.
Yeah, so.
I think we'll do that with a voice vote.
Okay.
The resolution is, what do we, someone say it tomorrow?
Sure. Hudson Hall can do a budget adjustment to their workforce development program, which will move some of the assumed projected funds from shared streets to workforce.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, that we can, I don't think vice versa. I think it's in this direction.
Yeah, it will have to be specific as we agree to.
That one, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I second that.
Third. Can we say, all in favor say aye.
All in favor say, yeah. Any
aye.
Names?
Aye.
Aye.
Approved.
Okay, that's great. And so then we can follow up with Tom and Tracy and Jeff about writing it. The text I just got that I was laughing at was from Peter Spear, who's on the call because one of the things that I was really hoping would happen after reading Chris's great letter and really appreciating Chris's idea of making sure that all of the stakeholders that really matter for pedestrian safety and traffic slowing are involved in anything we do about traffic slowing and pedestrian safety are like on the same page and everybody knows. I had hoped that Peter, I thought Dominic was going to be on. Is Dominic here too?
He's on, he's the phone number.
Yeah, okay. So I had reached out to Peter and after getting Dominic's, really kind of good list of the stuff that in his mind was going on and hoping that we could just get a conversation or just a little moment from the two of them about what the whole city so far right now is doing on pedestrian safety and traffic slowing, like so that we at least as the tourism board who keep on getting proposals for that, you know, a traffic signal, etc., know what's happening in the city. And Peter Spear said he has to leave by 8, so I was hoping we could move that to now.
Absolutely, not a problem.
Okay. I think there are like a lot of things that we do need to talk about tonight, and so I guess my request would be that if that needs to come to the forefront, then after that we should talk about really getting an approval for earmarking funding for marginalized communities.
Yes.
Agreed.
Traffic safety was like further down on the list in the agenda for the evening. And I definitely want to accommodate Peter and Dominic, but we all have many things that need.
And also we could just finalize on making sure that bills are paid. So we don't have any, I don't want somebody to sit on a bill for a month because it wasn't submitted.
Great. All right, so does Peter or Dominic wanna start the conversation about traffic, public safety?
you sent this, you sent around a, you, Calvin, sent
yes.
around a list from Dominic of everything that was happening in town. And my understanding of it was that that was kind of like a big picture. This is what's happening so you guys can understand what the city is doing overall. And I think before we can, I would love to be talked through like, what's like, what is the city doing right now for traffic slowing? It'd be very, very brief, but like, just what are the projects for traffic slowing and pedestrian safety that are already happening so we can contextualize the idea of those speed signs in a way that makes sense to us and who's working on it.
I would say, I think that's Dominic. That's what Dominic's been doing.
Yeah.
I'm definitely here to support, you know, to sort of provide context, but Dominic's been the leader in this. So.
Are you there, Dominic?
I mean, I'm sorry. What was the question? The breakdown, what the city's currently doing for pedestrian safety, is that what it was?
Yes.
Tomorrow. Okay. So basically the list I submitted you is kind of like a puzzle in that is getting put together. So I know some initiatives that happened already was the stop sign on Washington, the crosswalk on the Oakdale. So those are the things that happened, I think, within the last 3 months, I believe. Those things for traffic calming and also pedestrian safety. DPW also has what they have, a community host agreement. What that is that's the intersection of, we got $200,000 from Stewart's. And that's for the intersection of Green and Fairview, right by Stewart's, to improve that corner. Now that I believe is still the money is secured by getting sending out for bids. I believe for that project. So the other project that bids are submitted that, and I believe, it's already been awarded to a company for the traffic study. If I'm miscorrected, Tom, just correct me if I'm wrong, but the traffic study, the truck safety.
Yeah, no, we're beyond that. Right? We have a bid for the actual work. So we're a little bit further along with that. But you're on the right.
Right. Thank
you're
you.
More or less right.
Great. Great. So that's for the truck traffic on the truck route. Another, you know, initiative, you know, of course, is the DRI money, which Peter can speak up with the complete streets kind of concept that hopefully, as you saw this weekend, was a kind of nice sampling of what's to come. Kind of deal. You know, a lot of these things are within, you know, some of these things are a 2-3 year project out with DRI and things like that, but they're on, again, what I'd say, pieces of a puzzle getting put together. I think another one is the Ferry Street Bridge is another one. It's going to be, within hopefully 3 to 5 years, those projects are more involved, but at least they're on the table. Another thing is in the legal committee now is the introduction for the speed reduction proposal to see what we could do to reduce speed in the city. So that's in the legal committee with Jeff Baker looking into that on how it can be done, what can be done. That's another. And then also in the legal committee back on the table, which has been, again, a lot of these projects are puzzles, but is back on for the sidewalk improvement zones, which is to put a law in place that designates certain areas of the city as a priority of improvement. And what it is that there will be fee put into homeowners that the city would then take the repairs and do the repairs, and you know, the homeowners would pay like a certain amount a year over so many years for those repairs to their property. So it takes it out of the homeowner's responsibility and puts it into a project plan for the city, for example, a certain area, whatever high area is determined, you know, through that law, and to different zones, and those will start repairing the sidewalks as a complete repair rather than segmented repair. So again, these projects are, you know, reiterate their, you know, I'm saying within 5 years you're going to see a totally different Hudson. You know, also, like I said, the DPW has in their possession, hopefully hopefully by the end of this month or beginning of November, you'll start seeing some of the solar crosswalks being popped up. There's eight of them to be installed. So that's just the DPW putting on their schedule and putting them together. And there's a little bit more work involved than initially thought with securing them and mounting them. But that's another project that's, you know, in the works. So again, this is all part of a bigger picture, but it's things that are going on, and I'm going to keep saying pieces to this puzzle. That's, and then of course the solar radars is just another piece to this puzzle, you know, for putting these together. And then Peter wants to add anything. I know we talked about a couple weeks ago, Peter, on some of this, and, you know, Peter is, you know, the one that has, you know, pushed the real initiative for the complete streets and educated me very in the beginning on complete streets and what exactly that was and how much of the advantage of that project and that process. Plus, complete streets is a state law. We should be implementing that anyway. Peter, if you want to talk a little bit on that, that'd be great.
Yeah, thank you, Dominic. The complete streets is my understanding. It's kind of just stalled. You know what I mean? There's a resolution that Dominic and I drafted. And there's sort of a lack of clarity as to whether there's appetite or interest in incomplete streets as a benefit, as a resolution and a policy. I definitely have been involved in trying to advocate for this. It's just sort of stalled at the moment.
So could complete streets maybe be a way? I know we can't spend too much time on this. I just wanted to bring it up because the number of times the tourism board has responded to Dominic by saying we want something kind of that we can understand in terms of the whole city. Could complete streets, which it seems like is already supported by the council, maybe, I don't know, be a way of us thinking, moving forward, thinking about specific issues? Should we be having a conversation about complete streets with the, you know, like Chris wrote this great letter, should we have a separate conversation about complete streets? As opposed to specific interventions.
Peter, why is it stalled? Where is it stalled?
I would say it's in the DPW committee, and there's a lot of questions about whether, you know, complete streets, it asks a lot of the city, you know what I mean? It's a very, it's an expense, you know what I mean? It's complicated, and we just didn't move out of the DPW committee as far as I can tell. And I think a lot of other things happened. This is that became more important. And their question, yeah, that's what I would say. I don't have a great answer other than it doesn't really sell itself very well. Complete streets doesn't seem to make sense. There's not a very clear benefit. It feels like, oh, great, you want me to spend more money that we don't have to make sidewalks better. It's just, it's hard. It's hard to do.
I think a lot of it also was, you know, the ADA issue, you know, took a priority, and that's another initiative, you know, having the engineers on board now with the ADA sidewalk and city issues. But complete streets, like Peter said, it's not a simple thing. I mean, it comes to a lot of sign-on from all departments. I mean, there's a lot of stakeholders, and it really is involved. In the money aspect, the policy aspect. There's possibly a board that might be put together. I know Kingston has probably one of the better ones that has been implemented, but it took a while for them to get going, with their Complete Streets. But another thing is Complete Streets is not just a concept that is just there. Complete Streets is a law that was implemented by New York State, almost 8 years ago, I think, Peter, it was a while ago. So, yeah. Hudson is behind on many things. And again, because this is so complicated. However, with the DRI, Complete Streets is has to be part of the DRI. Any of the changes is part of, because of sidewalks and Complete Streets is a component of the DRI improvement. So that also gives us an idea and hopefully motivation of a snapshot, just like we saw this weekend, which I thought was great, that sampling of what the improvement and what the hopefully the energy can come back for looking back into the concept of, really putting Complete Streets in play. I think Complete Streets is a part of this, but we can't wait on some of these other initiatives until Complete Streets get put into play. It's just not something I think the city can kind of do. The Complete Streets is kind of the bigger picture of a lot of these things. But unfortunately, like I said, it takes good commitment.
I agree, Dominic. I think that other committee members also agree. Peter, I want to acknowledge and appreciate your work for Complete Streets, and I want you to know that I am in complete support, and let us know what we can do to continue to support Dominic. I also agree that they have to be separate initiatives. And I think the thing that, and I don't mean to speak for the rest of the tourism board, but I know that for a few of us, we need a more complete understanding in a more concise way about what it is that you want for us to fund. And the benefits and the cost, and it all needs to be in just a more complete form, more completely. We've been forwarded. I know you've done a ton of work on it, and I appreciate it. But it's been fed to us in a pretty disjointed way, and it's hard to really think through what it means for this city when it's fed to us like that.
I'm very sorry, Emma. I need to run. Thank you all. Thank you, Dominic. Good night.
Take care, Peter. Thank you.
I'm just going to jump in for a minute. What I'm hearing is pieces of the puzzle, and thank you, Dominic, for giving us some of the pieces to the puzzle. But it strikes me, you used the word sign-on. We need people to get sign-on. And that's exactly what we asked at the last meeting, is if we can get everybody together. How do we get the stakeholders that you mentioned together? Because right now, people are running off and doing their own things, including you asking us to fund two signs from the tourism board. And the reason why I'm so opposed to that approach is because I feel like I don't want to make a decision without fully knowing what everybody else is doing and how it fits. the tourism board is not here to solve this problem. We're here to contribute to solve the problem. So for me, I really think that the approach, the next step has to be getting all of the stakeholders together, Zoom or whatever, and having a conversation so that we're not operating in a vacuum or in individual vacuums.
Well, what I meant by sign out, I was talking about the complete streets. You know, that was the conversation was about complete streets.
Would you disagree and say that you don't believe it's important that DPW and HPD and the mayor's office and the Common Council and future Hudson, do you think it's not beneficial to have everybody have a conversation and start to make decisions together?
No, I totally agree. But what I was asked is to kind of collectively put together of what all these other departments are doing in their segmented way, you know, for pedestrian and traffic safety. My response, you know, to this and my ask was, you know, because of the, you know, the increase in the, you know, with the tourism, with these different areas, you know, for these, you know, traffic calming for the areas, you know, with the petition, you know, petition that was put out, you know, in the area, the high traffic volume in that area, you know. So, I mean, basically, I mean, moving forward, I have no problem. I think that's great. But I think, you know, we have to at least, you know, like I said, you know, with the pedestrian crosswalks, you know, that, you know, another piece. And I think, you know, these radar traffic is another piece that can be done, you know, gradually to this end. But right now, it's like I said, it's because these areas have been addressed. You know, I don't want to repeat a lot of things, but you know, as you know, increase in volume for, you know, the traffic going down. If we can reduce the traffic, then we can have a conversation about what do speed bumps or speed humps or, you know, different styles.
And that is the crux of our disagreement. The crux of our disagreement is that you want to start something and then start the conversation. And I think what I was saying last time, and I think others on the board as well agreed, not everybody, I won't speak for everybody, was that we should have the conversation now. You know, there's an example of in New York City, they did street repairs on 14th Street, which is a major street. And it was a big pain in the neck and it caused such traffic problems. But then the day after it was finished, traffic was great and everybody was happy. And then 4 weeks later, they realized that they had to dig up the street again because they had to put some water main in. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. I don't want us to start taking actions. You know, how can we do something without knowing what DPW is doing, without knowing what HP, what the police are doing, without knowing what the mayor's vision is? So for me, I personally don't want to start something and then see how we can have the conversation after that. I want to have the upfront conversation first so that every action we take is efficient and cost effective and good stewardship of our city's money.
Right. Where do we fit in the bigger plan? And even if you look at this Zoom right now, as soon as we go here, right, we had an agenda and we were trying to do things in a logical order. And as soon as this issue came up, do you see how many people's names popped up and they actually went away? It's like we need to stay focused and we also need to respect our time more. I'm sorry if I sound really frustrated, but
you're right.
It's hard for us to dedicate this time routinely. And this has jumped the track time and time again in this meeting. And I just feel like we need to grab the reins on this.
So maybe we could, my hope was just that we could have a report from Peter and Dominic, which I think we got, and the idea that the city is working on complete streets as already, that is the answer to Chris's question. There is an existing thing. Hold on, Chris.
I don't think complete streets is the answer to our situation, and okay, I don't want to drag on the conversation.
Okay, but I'm just saying
if everyone's saying that's a piece of it, then I want all pieces.
Great. I'm just my point was like, you're asking what everybody's doing. And I was hoping that just knowing that the things that are currently being talked about can fit under the rubric of complete streets, which is currently under consideration by all these different parts, could at least give us a way of in the future saying we don't have to have a separate meeting with all of these people, but we could ask what the complete streets setup is and just think about that, not try to fund things separately, but think about supporting, finding out what the complete streets plan is, what the advisory council is, what they're doing, who they are, who they consist of, if they're going to exist, and then think about funding that rather than individual things.
That's a better use of our time. If we could find somebody that could actually organize all of those things, that's what we should be supporting.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to
get at. I agree. Constantly. I definitely agree. And I appreciate this as an issue for town. I also feel really strongly that we need to stick to like the agenda. Otherwise, these meetings kind of go off the rails. And they take an incredibly long amount of time. And yes, I agree that we need to all consider complete streets. I'm behind it and want to think through it, but we can't.
Agreed.
Okay, so can I just ask? So where does it put this at? Because last, you know, the conversation was, you know, collect what everybody's working on, you know, so what else do you need from me to move this forward?
I think the tourism board, I've drafted a letter, which I've sent to fellow tourism board members. And the question at hand, and we don't even have to discuss it now because I want to move on, is whether or not the tourism board is willing to become a catalyst for starting that conversation. And do we send that letter out? And it's a letter that invites the mayor and the common council and DPW, HPD, Future Hudson, and concerned citizens to just get on a Zoom call and start to discuss this. And I think we can do that offline.
What about this complete streets thing? Are we still going to get together and talk about that?
I think it's the same. I think it's the same conversation.
Okay. It is. So I think for me personally, I think that the letter would be good to get things started, and then we can hand the reins over to somebody else. Great. But I was reluctant to send it out, and I wanted the tourism board to look at it because I did not want to volunteer the tourism board to spearhead a traffic issue for the city where I feel that we only play a contributing role.
Right. Yes. And I guess my opinion is that, Dominic, we need more complete information in, like, submit a proposal to the tourism board so that we can really understand the benefits of it, the cost of it, and all of the information is in one place so we can really evaluate it completely. That would be my request. Like all of the other proposals that have been submitted and funded by the tourism.
Can we, Dominic, were you able to get all of that? Dominic?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to collect. I wrote a couple of notes down. But okay. So resubmit the proposal that I submitted, but put it all in one with the budget and everything and the benefits of the radar, speed traffic, and, you know, resubmit everything again, including the data package and everything as a more complete.
I don't know. I mean, that's, I hear you, Kate, and I've heard three different things. One was we should stop talking about this now because we have other things to talk about. Two was we have to talk about this in a way that involves all of the existing agencies, which I totally agree with, and that's why I wanted to hear about Complete Streets, because we can actually say, okay, all the Complete Streets people, this is what we hear from, this is this proposal, tell us everything, let's get on board, let's get on one call. And then the third thing was that Dominic should do a specific proposal. And so I would say, if we want to move on, we should just move on, say we've talked about this a lot, it's time to move on. If we want to go, okay, let's go support a further conversation, we should do that. I don't think that Dominic should try doing, I feel like he keeps on trying to get his ducks in a row, but if we want to think about this in a complete way, then a single proposal in which he puts the information that he's given us before into one document is not going to be fulfilling.
I agree. I mean, I don't think this is the venue, and somehow I feel like we keep trying to break up and nobody is willing to take that for like we have to figure out the proper venue. I think it's the tourism board that should be the board that I think it's big tourism board, and I'm not just trying to throw in the towel. I want to see a way through, and Complete Streets, it's really important. But again, the reason we're not getting anywhere on the tourism board is I don't think that this is the proper venue.
Yeah.
Good point.
Okay.
I think that's the nut.
That, yeah, I think that is it. And yeah.
So the proposal has been denied, so I try to find other funding. Is that what I'm hearing?
A more appropriate venue? Maybe?
Or I think that it's not like
I don't think we have to vote on that. It's not that we're saying that we're not willing to support this. It's that we're willing to be a part of a bigger thing, but we don't understand the bigger thing. And until for us, I think Chris's example was really good about 14th Street. I think that this isn't it's bigger than us, and we're happy to be, or I would be happy to be involved in our part of it, but it needs to be figured out on a bigger scale for us to figure out where we can be helpful.
And this is the third time that we're saying, this is now the third time that we're saying, just get everybody together on a call and figure it out, because then we can hand it off. Maybe Rob Perry takes this. Maybe, you know, maybe Michael Chimides. I don't know, but it just seems as though it's a very heavy lift for the tourism board, and we seem to be the only ones being asked. And I think it's because there's this perception that we have money.
No, I think that, you know, the perception is that some of the traffic increasing in the city, especially by Oakdale, with a lot of activity this summer, at Oakdale, was a result of the increase in, you know, the use and the tourism. So, I have no problem going to, you know, other venues. I'm just saying, you know, whatever I'm hearing is that you want to be a part of it, but not fund this project right now, but somehow figure out how you can be a part of, you know, the other part of the puzzle, you know. So, I mean, I don't want to kick this can down the road. I apologize for taking up this time, but I've been here. I've been trying to do as best I can with the time I have, getting the information that I've been asked for each time, each meeting. So, I mean, I hear different answers sometimes and different things. So I'm just trying to say, listen, this is my ask, you know, these are the reasonings, which I thought I gave you, and then I gave back data, which you asked for what other departments are working on, and now you're asking for something else, which I have no problem, but then, take a vote, get it on record, so then I have, you know, an idea of where to go with it.
We've asked three times for you to try to pull all of the stakeholders together for a conversation, and that has not happened yet, to the point that I've actually drafted a letter, which I've sent to the board members to say, do we do this? And there's a real reluctance to do this because we're not the lead agency for this.
Maybe that's the core. We need to find out that we're not the venue. Is that the consensus?
But Chris, I went to, you know, I talked to Michael Chimides, I talked to all the stakeholders. I got their information of what they're kind of working on, which that's what I thought in the last meeting you were looking for. What are all these stakeholders working on, you know, in pedestrian and traffic safety? So that's what
I think that we have been a little bit misleading. I think it's been confusing for us as well. I think that's the problem. Like, because we're definitely a board that wants to please, right? If you look at everything we've done, and I think that we keep trying to figure out where we can be of assistance. But I think that we should almost make the motion to say that this isn't the right venue for this conversation. And if somewhere down the road we can figure out where we can be of assistance, the board that likes to please would love to help out. But the reason we're not getting anywhere is I just don't think this is the right place.
Agreed.
I think you're right, Kristen. I agree.
So Kristen, can you make the motion, Kristen?
That we are not the correct venue for this conversation at this time? Yes, I would like to make the motion that thank you, Dominic, for all of your hard work and for doing what we've asked, but I think that we are not the right venue at this time.
Right.
I second that.
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I'm the sole dissenter because I still actually think that I'm on the record as actually wanting to fund these traffic signs just because I want to do everything that we could for pedestrian safety, but I fully see everybody's, I want the big picture too. So that's my on the record thing, but I'm excited to be on board at the big picture moving forward.
Okay, thank you guys for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dominic.
Thank you, Dominic.
Thanks, Dominic.
Alrighty, so it is 8:20, and we do, I think we have a healthier portion of the agenda remaining. With that said, do we want to champion through this or reschedule?
Champion. I think we should do at least the marginalized community discussion.
Okay.
And we have to do the people who are waiting to figure out whether they can start their projects before it gets cold.
But yeah. You're talking about the whole agenda.
I know.
Yeah.
So I think Tamar, to your point, we should Bell's page should be next in my mind on the list. I can send. Okay, let's just do that first, right? Okay.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Let's do it.
I would just like to say that the Hudson Art Fair art show, which is at 4:15 Warren, is really wonderful, and we supported that. It just opened on Saturday night, but I think we should all be very proud of it. It's really great. The art is amazing.
That was one of the three projects or four projects that missed the September council meeting. So what I did for DePace Family Music, the Hudson Milner Art Salon, and Hudson Cruises is I loaned, since it was the initial payment, I loaned them the money to get started on Thursday and took an assignment of their first payment. It's much less risk to get an assignment of the first payment than the last, but I felt that we had there was some misunderstanding on dates, and we were partially responsible for that happening. I did do it for the grocers because I thought they had more cash flow than the others, and besides, it was a much larger grant, and I didn't have the cash to do it. So, I think they will be on the agenda. They've been approved by you. We'll get the contract signed by the mayor, and they'll be on Tom's agenda for the 20th. I've talked to the city clerk, and she asked us to have the information to her and the vouchers for those who need to be paid by the 16th. So there are the 7 projects that have submitted for reimbursement, and there are the any new projects that you would approve tonight. We would have the contracts approved in time for the council to issue the first checks on the 20th.
Amazing.
Thank you, Mike.
So we're just going to go through those 7 now, right?
It's going to be discussion tomorrow. I think there's going to be discussion about some of those.
Yeah, I wasn't saying there wasn't going to be. I was just saying that's what we're going to do.
Well, is that what we're going to do, or we're going to have another meeting? That's what it's like.
Well, I mean, we have to, like, the people that have submitted for reimbursement and...
We just talked about that. Didn't Mike just talk about that?
But the issue is, if you don't approve
them tonight,
I don't know. If you don't approve them tonight, I don't know that you have enough time on the public meeting law to schedule a meeting before I have to submit them to the city on the 16th.
Oh, I see. Okay, I get it. All right.
So you'll vote on the 7th.
Yeah, so can we just go?
If you want to lay one aside because you want more information, we shouldn't hold up the ones that are clearly
ready to go.
Yeah, okay, so good. Yeah, Calvin, do you have those up, or does anybody have those? Whatever we have to, those 7.
I have them, but I'm not on. Let's see, I'm on a different computer.
Oh yeah, no, Mike, you don't have to. I.
I have no
list.
Yeah.
Some
the first
list?
One, Free Columbia.
Okay. Which one has it?
Who's that? Free Columbia. Their project budget was 14.5. They had an award of 5,000. They submitted receipts of 14.8, and their invoice request is for 2,500.
There's also a problem with Free Columbia, and that is the fact that they did not fulfill their contract. They were supposed to do a number of shows in Hudson. We were not funding shows in Athens or in Philmont. And I think they did a total of 3 shows in Hudson. They were supposed to do 8.
Maybe we should, in the interest of time, we should move to the, if there are any that we know we can fund from people that.
So why don't we put that aside and we can go back and have them explain themselves.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Friends of Oakdale Lake, $14,000 budget, $14,725. Their award was $15,000. They submitted receipts for $12,269, and they requested a reimbursement of $4,769.74, which, they received $7,500. So $7,500 plus the 4,769 would bring them to the total of the amount they submitted in receipts.
12,269.74.
Right. Good. So the question is, what they didn't complete, I think, was the result of either not being able to acquire things or they saved money.
They saved money, I think.
Okay. It was the trash cans. They did.
The trash cans. Yeah. Yeah, they
didn't
do the trash.
Save money on not buying. So do we have to vote on each of these?
I would recommend to the board that you approve it.
So do we take a vote?
Yes.
I will make a motion to approve Friends of Oakdale Lake's expenditure. They came under budget for a total of $12,269.74. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Third.
Does everybody just say aye?
Favor.
Can we do
all in favor? Say aye.
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 Any nays?
Aye.
All right. That passes.
The Hudson Arts Coalition Waterfront Wednesday, total project $6,571, total award $5,000, total receipts $5,194. They're requesting $2,500, which is, since they spent more than the $5,000, if they completed the project, I would recommend the $2,500 final payment.
I'm going to make a motion to pay them.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any names?
Hudson Hall, project budget $32,760, award $15,000, total receipts $35,263. They're requesting their second payment of $7,500 with the project complete.
Mike, you also recommend we fund this, right?
And you fund this.
Okay, I'll make a motion to fund it.
I second.
I'll second, yeah.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Resolution. All right.
Next project is Hudson Sloop. Total budget $19,000, award $9,000, receipts for $9,000. They only provided expenses for up to the $9,000, and I don't know if that was a misunderstanding on their part, and I don't know whether you want me to.
I think it's important that we keep everybody to the same standard, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess the question would be, do you want to approve it subject to a review of the final receipts by the committee chair?
Yeah. Wait, why wouldn't we? I don't understand.
Well, the budget was for $19,000, and they only submitted receipts up to the amount of the award. So we don't. I couldn't tell what they did. They spent the other $10,000,
which we didn't award. You mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't have finished the project that you funded if they spent the full amount.
They need to just clarify the expenses.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd recommend that you approve it subject to verifying the remainder of the expense, and if can't do that, we'll bring it back to you.
I'll make a motion to what Mike just said.
Okay, I second it.
I second that, yeah.
Agreed.
All in favor.
Aye.
Operation Unite, 26,000 budget, $4,900 award, receipts for $16,000, made invoice for $2,450. I think that we would want to do the same thing, subject to determining whether they either saved money or completed the project. As long as they completed the project and verify any additional receipts, I would recommend it be approved.
I talked to Elena about this, and they did complete the project. I don't know about, she didn't show me any receipts. But we talked through the project, and they had to make some adjustments for doing more things virtual, but they completed it. So I think doing a...
All right, so we'll just approve it then.
That would be my inclination.
But sorry, Tamar, can you explain just because, like, we awarded $4,900.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that's the second 50%. Okay, yep, makes sense.
And as we saw with the Friends of the Lake, we don't want to penalize people who were able to perform the project lower than budget.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally.
So
wait, Mike, can I just ask a question on that? Like when we were saying earlier, if they show all the receipts, what happens if they were able to do it under budget?
Well, that's, I guess what we would, all the receipts necessary to have satisfied the, what this project was supposed to have done, as opposed to the group that did 3 out of 8, it's, you know, that's an easy one.
Yeah. Okay, but, good. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then the last one for this group of approval is the Hudson I.
Well, we have to just officially say I.
Okay. Yeah, take a vote on operation. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, I'm making a motion for Operation Unite budget resolution.
Aye.
Aye.
All in favor? Aye. All right. No names?
Great. Hudson I, $15,000 budget, a $15,000 award, receipts of $15,142. They're looking for $7,500. I recommend it to the committee.
I'll make a motion for the Hudson Eye.
I second it.
Accept.
Aye. All right.
Now we're cooking.
That's we're cooking.
Yeah.
Now, the second group of projects, reimbursement review and approval for your November 2nd board meeting will be the three projects from Hudson Business Alliance. I followed up with them twice in advance of tonight, and they weren't ready. The submission of the vouchers to the council on DePace, Hawthorne Valley, Green Grocer, Hudson Milner, and Hudson Cruises will be on October 20th for their initial payment. I'm waiting receipt from Basilica Hudson and Daniel Rothbart so that I can get those signed by the mayor and confirm their insurance certificates in time to have those submitted for initial payment on October 20th. And then I had 5 projects where we needed more direction from you. The first one being Anise Cousins. Pop-up classroom.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, we were going to refer or recommend Anise's proposal to Spark of Hudson.
Right. That was it.
Okay.
So I think
I'll take care of that with both the Anise and Susan.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Hudson Creative Sidewalk plaques we continue to work through with Chad, and we'll report back to you.
Okay.
Hudson great. Open Studios.
That's done. It was
voted that approved?
Down. No, yeah. it was voted down by the Common Council, and the project manager is not coming back.
Hudson Public Arts Collective.
They did everything that we asked them to do. This is a sidewalk. So this is Kirby. I forget her last name, but Kirby was one of
Crone.
Okay. Yeah. So she did she was doing the mural this past weekend at Second and State as part of the Complete Streets or Hudson Connects thing. And her partner is Will something in this project, but, we liked way back when we all liked the project and we asked them.
Who was we? I never liked the project. Who was we?
We is the tourism board.
Well, I am part of it. And we never discussed it.
Sydney, that's not true. We did discuss it. I'm not saying you did like it. Maybe you didn't. The tourism board, the majority of the tourism board, when we first heard about the sidewalk murals outside of the library, the majority of the board liked it and said this would be great if Gallivan and the library and the DPW and the mayor.
No, Tamar, are you saying they just, if they want to just do the library, is that what they're asking, just to do the library sidewalk?
This is the exact same proposal. I'm not making anything up. This is the proposal that you have looked at and had in your inbox this whole time.
I thought that they were asking for not something specific, but that they wanted to do sidewalk things and they were thinking about doing the library. But
no,
they
at first they said we want to do the library as our first project. And we being the tourism, the majority of the tourism board, so more than half of nine people, said, that sounds great, but they would really need to find out whether the library wants this, whether this would be beneficial, whether that all these agencies
right.
want. And they did that. And every time they've done that, I forward it to all of you guys. And so you have in your, also in your, but from weeks ago.
So this is only about the library. This is not something to
exactly. Explain. This is
a other sidewalk.
This is their first project at the library, their pilot project, although they already have projects other places in town. This is a project at the library that has buy-in from all of the agencies that we asked and all the individuals that we asked for buy-in from. And I totally understand if this is not in the forefront of anybody's mind, but this has been in everybody else's inbox and Dropbox, the same place it has been in mine. So I'm not doing any separate special.
Could we have a discussion at a meeting? Because I think the Dropbox and the emails is not always so efficient. If we could just put it on the agenda for a meeting and then just...
I think
it
is on the agenda for.
But I guess the question
right
is.
But we never. We never said yes. Let's do this. We said we need more information.
Right. That's why I'm bringing it up, because we said specifically this is that moment.
But Tamar, are you suggesting that we say yes, let's fund this now, or are you?
I think we should vote on it because we said to them. I said this to all of you guys, we said to these people, we need this information in order to make a decision. And then I sent the information to all of you so that we had the information, and now we have it. So I'm suggesting that we vote on it.
So the question is, do we want to do this? Do you want to put things around the library on, we don't know what, kind of design. It's going to be on really one of the nicest sidewalks that we have in the city because of the library. So that was the part that I thought we should do we really want to do this? Do we want to see, is it going to look good? Do we want to do it? That's, you know.
I'm sorry if I'm confused. Is it more of the same of what we did at the corner of Warren in front and the corner of, is that what we're talking about? From artistically or no?
I don't remember. I can pull up the Dropbox. I can pull up the application now. I don't remember what.
But that's the issue. I think that we are generally as a group, I think we like this concept. The question is, I don't feel like I'm ready to vote now on something that I haven't thought about for a while. My apologies if I didn't read your email, but I just, if it's on the agenda, like, let's discuss this topic.
I thought it was. I'm sorry. I sent it to Calvin and I said we need to put this on the agenda. So I thought it was on the agenda.
So maybe it is.
I don't know what else.
So I might be unprepared. For me, it's just hard to,
I do recall this. It's proposal 35. In case you're wondering.
Yeah, and I think it came in like June, and June 17th, and we literally, this is one of the first ones, and said you guys, and you guys, you know, advised me, and we all said we should follow up and ask if we have all this stuff in line, and it's a short-term grant up to $5,000, LGBT and woman-owned, Art Path Hudson is a public art project that utilizes the public space of sidewalks and streets. It's a mural created using cohesive design language of a public space and colors and makes a walkable path to the city of Hudson.
Tamar, they're asking for $5,000 to go around the library. That doesn't seems like they could do that with less money than $5,000.
Well, we can decide to vote on it or not. I'm bringing it back.
We never talked about the money or, you know, or the process or what it would look like if we liked it. You know, we just said, it looks like it might be good. Let's get this information. But we never had this discussion about whether we really want that sidewalk to be filled with what. It's not that big a sidewalk.
Yeah, I mean, I think that my understanding is that it's not something that they're going to decide on their own. It's that it's a... They do community outreach is my understanding.
I'm still unclear why we're deviating from
the agenda that Calvin sent out.
I thought this was like, on the agenda.
It's on the agenda.
Really clear and specific.
It's on the agenda.
But it's way down on the list of the agenda. It is, but I feel like the order of these meetings is important, and we should go through it properly in the way that our chair picked out. It's becoming a little unruly in my mind.
And I totally hear you, Kate, and I'm sorry. I feel like I've been an instrument of that. But in fairness, this is somebody that asked us for funding in June and did everything we said. And so I didn't.
But also in fairness, we should have brought this. We as a board should have acted on this sooner. So I feel bad. I want to help them. But, you know, I just read the room. I just don't think it's good to take a vote right now. I think people need to digest it more.
I think so.
I think to Chris's point in reading the room, should we talk about maybe reconvening and also just talk about keeping these meetings to a certain time? One of the things that's really hard for everybody is we're unsure how far these go and when we cut off and how to prioritize. So I don't know if it's helpful or not, but just I don't know. Tell me if I'm the only one thinking that. I'm sorry. I just thought I'd put it out there.
And maybe time limits for topics.
Definitely. All right. So that considered, sounds like we're kind of getting to the end of our woods here. Did we want to wrap this portion up quickly and allow Kate to present on earmarking funding for the marginalized community?
I think so. And if we're having a special meeting, we've already decided we just kind of tack that onto it and everyone can get the chance to kind of reread everything and come back with an opinion.
Right. Sydney, did you have a comment?
No, that was just, so we're going to put that off. We're going to put off the sidewalk thing for now, right?
It would be really great, though, if we're going to have a special meeting, I think it would be really good to make sure that we prioritize things that we're late on, like something that's, you know, that people have been waiting on us since June.
And I agree. And like to Mike's point, if something is going to miss a deadline because we didn't handle it in today's meeting, like that's how we have to prioritize things. And, you know.
Well, one question that does raise is, you know, at what point, if this gets approved, if it doesn't get approved till the November council meeting, you're not going to do artwork on a sidewalk that's going to be
covered in snow.
No, I mean, that's the thing, is that this is the last opportunity for this project.
I thought they were delaying this project to the spring in any case.
That's right,
okay.
They said.
Or they might start it now. I mean, it kind of depends on the weather.
I thought they actually said they were going to do it in the spring. You sure?
I will circulate this application link to you all so you don't have to go look for it. And also the final one was we did finally get the insurance certificate for little Deb. And we released the first initial payment, which the insurance certificate was the only thing holding that up. And I think that I did discuss with Calvin that because he was that project was out of sequence, you should double check who's going to be the mentor for that project and get a hold of Allie.
I mean, I own Lil Deb, so I can definitely talk to them. The first performance is
tomorrow night.
I know he was frustrated because when he has to complete all of the performances because of the delay in him getting. Allie getting the insurance certificate. So, but I'm sure you can work that out, but I just thought that it'd be helpful if Allie had a someone from the tourism board, since it is out of sequence, and I think some of the other awardees worked with each, you know, at least talked to each other about how all this worked. it'd be helpful.
And if there are any concerns with timing, I'm sure the board can be flexible and we can put that in the next meeting.
Great. All right. I'd love to hear about the next.
Thank you, Mike.
And I may hop in when I get to the thruway. But we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you so
much. Thank you. Bye. Keep the pressure on us. Mike. We work better under pressure.
You're cool as a cucumber under pressure. Please.
Alrighty. So, shall
okay,
we?
Okay, I'll.
Yes. Go ahead, Kate. Yes, floor is yours.
Can I go? Okay, I'm ready. Project Hudson earmarked funding for marginalized communities in 2021. Importance is, can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Marginalized communities in Hudson were not given equal access to Project Hudson due to quick timeline for the project overall. Translations were not ready when the program launched. We want to get the word out, but activating our community liaisons to help. Here's the solution we proposed in the plan to get us there. We would, so what Hannah, Cece, and I thought would be great is to earmark $50,000 for projects specifically for marginalized communities to be completed in 2021. This would fund 5 to 6 smaller projects, 2 to 3 larger projects. The timeline would be outreach, October, November, December of 2020, submissions, January, February of 2021, approvals, which take a long time, March, April, May, execution of proposals, May, June, July, August, September. Promotion, activate community liaisons to help spread the word. We've got them in place. We're going to, due to Calvin's suggestion, invite them to come to our next meeting. Jabine, Gloria, and Alexis. Post flyers at a bunch of places. I'll send them out to you guys. And then post online and word of mouth. One question is, we request help from city organizations and local volunteers for those who might need help filling out the applications, which makes a lot of sense. They're not so easy. And then we need to update the translations prior to doing outreach so that the information is totally up to date.
Great.
That's all I've got, Calvin. Take it away.
That was wonderful. Thank you greatly. And so, you know, I think that's a very thorough approach to provide funding to the marginalized community. I know that was a big intention of ours. And so kudos to both Kate, Cece, and Hannah for putting that together. I think it's a strong approach to achieve our goal. And so, let's see, that considered, this brings us to 8:50, and so, provided we had a few...
So, I think, Calvin,
do we have to approve that?
Calvin, we would have to vote. Yes.
I was just going to say, we can vote on that. Yeah, let's take a vote on that. I will, all those in favor of the proposed plan to allocate $50,000 to the marginalized community, say aye.
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 Aye. Any nays?
Aye.
All right, so approved. So, so again, thank you for that plan. And so, that said, I think we can bring this to a close if I'm reading the room correctly. we can tack on what we weren't able to address tonight to our special meeting. Do you want to take a few moments to look at the calendar? Okay.
Sure.
We do next Monday.
Next Monday. Let's see.
Is next Monday the informal?
No, because it's Columbus Day, and we.
Columbus Day.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't meet on Columbus Day, unless some of you object to meeting.
Indigenous Peoples Day, Tom.
I'm telling you what it's called by law in the state of New York. Way the City Hall.
I would meet then. I would meet then.
Close that day. That's all I'm trying to
say. I don't usually celebrate it too heartily.
It's actually a good night to meet because even if people are taking the day off to celebrate Indigenous people or whatever they celebrate, you know, that's like your Sunday night, and usually there's not much going on. So it actually would be a good night to meet.
So what time? What time would you like to meet?
It's fine for me. I'm fine with it.
Works for me.
Do you want to do a 5 p.m. or earlier in the day or 5 p.m.?
Yeah, 5 p.m.
October 12th, 5 p.m.
Okay.
Wow.
We made it through.
So if anyone's free on Wednesday, at Kitty's is the first performance stage from the Little Deaths Awakened team. Is it at 7? 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock sharp so that we can all go back and watch the debate. Yes!
And unbelievable.
Before you adjourn, sorry, this is Sage.
Ah.
Hi, I'm really sorry to bother, but we have 2 reimbursement submittals pending for the shared streets budget.
Right.
I don't think we have to do anything with those.
Yeah, they're ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, they're just wanted to double check.
Yeah.
Fine.
Sorry about the delay the first time, Sage, but
thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
I just want to say I saw pictures of the stage for Wednesday night. It's pretty awesome. I'm sure the city's going to find lots of opportunities in the future to use it.
Hope so.
I hope. Anyway.
Thank you. Okay, well, yeah, see you then.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.